We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Alex Dono Show on a Friday here on 560 WQAM. Streaming all over the internet, WQAM.com on the computer. Also on your smartphone, the radio.com app. I'm going to try not to get too spoiled. Out there on the roads, you notice all week, not just on July 4th, the roadways have been significantly more clear all week, rush hour time. A lot of people taking the whole week off from work, being lazy. Like, what did Hockman and Crowder, they work one day this week? Hockman's up at Disney. Crowder's probably fishing somewhere. The roads have been so nice and clear. I didn't hit a single traffic jam today on my way to the station. And I drove 37 miles from South Kendall on the turnpike to Miami Gardens. Not one traffic jam, not one accident. I'm going to try not to get too spoiled because I'm sure come Monday it's going to be a completely different story. If you'd like to get in, share your infinite wisdom with us via the phone lines tonight, 305-567-0560, 954-567-0560, pound 560 on your cell. You can always text us on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, but please don't text and drive. Get us there at 560-22. I thought earlier this week that the curse of Chang was dead. I made a terrible miscalculation, right? So earlier this week when England, picked by Manny Chang, defeated Colombia to advance to the quarterfinals. That ended an 0-for-10 drought for Chang picking games. 0-for-10 drought, right? Like, that's the foundation that a curse is built on. 0 for his last 10 World Cup picks, not to mention the two teams that he was rooting for in the Cup, Peru and Germany, both did not advance past the group stage. The curse of Chang was very, very real. But then, what was it, Monday or Tuesday when they played? England and Tuesday, England and Colombia. Manny Chang picked England to win, so I thought for sure, bet the farm, bet the house, bet your children, bet your mortgage, bet everything you own on Colombia. And then England pulls off that victory in the most non-England way possible by winning a PK shootout. Something the English national team had not done since 1996. They had not won a PK shootout, and they came from behind in the shootout to do that. I thought, man, the curse is dead. Now we can just ride with all of Manny's picks because the curse is dead. And then what does he tell me yesterday? He's given out his Chang locks. Brazil 3-0 over Belgium. Book it. Book it. Brazil 3-0 over Belgium. And then what does Brazil do? An own goal off some dude's shoulder. You had Kevin De Bruyne with a screamer, a firecracker, trying to throw out every cheesy soccer term for the rocket that he put into the net to take a 2-0 lead. Brazil did get one back, but the Belgians sent home Brazil by a 2-1 final score, and the curse of Chang is back. I came to find out it, under further study this week, why England beat Colombia. Because I had thought England beating Colombia, this is a major sign that the Chang curse is done. It's dead. It's buried. We can all move on with our lives. And then, like 2 hours after that score went final, I start to see this picture going around of the biggest bad luck charm in the universe, Diego Maradona. I mean, he was lucky in 86 when he scores a goal off of his hand and they didn't have video assistant review VAR back then to overturn it. So he was lucky in the 80s. 2018, that is the biggest black cloud of humanity, Diego Maradona. And, you know, he's Argentinian, and he jumps on the Colombian bandwagon. He's wearing a Colombian jersey. He's smoking a cigar. Vamos, Colombia. As soon as Diego Maradona, he started rooting for Colombia, he's a bigger curse than Chang. So the Chang curse still exists, but the Chang curse is not as powerful as the Diego Maradona curse. That's all that happened there, right? So, and I think Chang tomorrow, and he's actually trying to outsmart the curse, which I think is a terrible idea. This is what Manny told me tomorrow. So you have Croatia against Russia, England against Sweden. Just for the record, and by the way, I've only gotten one pick wrong since the knockout stages started, and that was I thought Spain would beat Russia, as we all did, but I think I underestimated Vladimir Putin, right? I underestimated Putin. So that is the only pick I've gotten wrong in the knockout stages. You know, I picked Belgium today, for example. I've been picking France. The only pick that I was incorrect on was Russia over Spain. Big O's club got beaten by Russia. That's my club, bro. That's my club. I watch all their qualifying games. Can't name a single player. Right. It's not even a club. That's the whole joke behind it. So that's the only pick I've gotten incorrect the entire knockout stage. So I'm picking Croatia over Russia, despite the whole shadiness there. And I am picking England over Sweden. And I think Manny agrees with both of those picks, but he's trying to outsmart the curse. He told me, no, I'm picking Russia and I'm picking Sweden to win because he's thinking the curse doesn't know what's really in his heart. Like the curse is going to say, oh, Manny went on record picking Russia and picking Sweden, so we're going to go the other way. So he's trying to like double cross and double reverse the jinx. We'll see if that pays any dividends tomorrow. 560-22 is how you get at us on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line or via the phone lines at 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. Carmelo Anthony and Oklahoma City parting ways. And there have been reports of interest from the Miami Heat. So Carmelo is going to either be bought out, stretched, or a combination of the two. So he's going to be getting paid by Oklahoma City even to leave town. He's going to get paid. So would he sign in Miami for, let's say, the $5.3 million mid-level exception deal? The problem with that idea would be, I think the Heat want to use the $5.3 million to bring Dwayne Wade back. And you know Carmelo and Wade will want to play together. So if they were to give Carmelo the $5.3 million mid-level exception, they'd have to try and sign D-Wade for the veterans minimum, and he's already said he does not want to do that. Dwayne Wade has already said he doesn't want to play for the minimum. So it's not that easy to bring Carmelo here. The other part of it is, hasn't Carmelo made it pretty clear over the last season plus? It's why he's so unhappy with OKC. He wants to be a starter. He doesn't want to be the ninth guy off the bench. Carmelo Anthony wants to be a starter for whatever team he plays for. I think he's delusional. But how much pushback would you get there? I see people saying that, well, no, Carmelo leaves. He wants to play for a contender, right? He wants to go to a team unlike the Miami Heat that's truly contending for a title. He wants to go to Houston to play with other banana boat buddy Chris Paul, or he wants to join LeBron in Los Angeles because they have a better chance than the Heat, although they have to go up against Golden State in the West. What is it about Carmelo, who has routinely, early in his career, routinely chosen to remain with the New York Knicks? What about Carmelo tells you this guy's chasing championships? Carmelo is chasing two things. He's been chasing money his entire career, and he's been chasing starters' minutes and stats. Like, this is not a guy, and maybe now it's changed because he's 34 years old, but Carmelo has never struck me as the type of player who is willing to sacrifice to win. He's trying to get paid and get laid, I'm sure, and get as many minutes and points as possible. But I did post something today on the WQAM Facebook page. Make sure you follow us and like our Facebook page, 560 WQAM. You know, I posted a link to a story from CBS Sports about Anthony and the Thunder parting ways with the caption, would you take Carmelo on the Miami Heat? Would you want Carmelo in a Heat uniform? Here are the responses we got. Hell no. No thanks. How about no or hell no? We get a gif of somebody shaking their head. No, 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 no. I honestly don't care. Somebody, okay. Get a cockatoo, a bird, shaking his head with the caption, no. No, hell to the no. GTFOH is one of the responses we got. Would you take Carmelo on the Heat? Pass on this, another comment. So not a single vote of support for Carmelo on the Heat. I would take him. I would take Carmelo on the Heat. I mean, obviously, you're not paying the guy $20 million, but if I could find a way to get both Carmelo and Wade playing together, that'd be a fun team. That'd be a lot of fun to have one half of the Banana Boat crew in Miami. And if nothing else, Miami could become like a headline team on TMZ again with Carmelo and Wade both down here playing together. That'd be a fun reality show, a fun experiment, something we'll get into a little bit more throughout the program. Would you take Carmelo for the Heat? And what would how could Miami make the math work? How could Miami make the salaries work? 7 o'clock, we will talk with Tom DeAngelo from the Palm Beach Post, who's very much on top of this story on the Heat's potential interest in Carmelo Anthony. But coming up next, I not only want to talk more World Cup, Roger Gonzalez from CBS is going to join us, soccer writer from CBS Sports. I've also got to get into Cristiano Ronaldo, who could be announced by Juventus as early as tomorrow. It could really be going down, right? So I have multiple different angles on this. I'm an Inter fan, one of Juventus's rivals, their greatest historic rival. Now, lately, they've won 7 straight titles in the Italian league, Juventus, so it's not much of a rivalry lately, but historically, biggest rival for Juventus. So I cannot stand Juve. I hate these guys. I also don't really like Cristiano Ronaldo, so I hate the idea of this happening. And I also have to wonder what the domino effect is going to be, right? Because Real Madrid, if they sell Ronaldo to Juventus for 100 million euros, you know they're also going to want to make a splash. They're not just going to sell Ronaldo and say, okay, guys, we still have Benzema, we still have Gareth Bale, this is going to be a lot of fun this year, no Cristiano. No, they're going to try and bring in another blue chipper. They're going to have 100 million euros in their pocket. They're going to say, okay, now it's time to buy Mbappe. Now it's time to buy Neymar. But with those guys coming out of PSG, PSG doesn't want to do Real Madrid any favors. Like, PSG is going to make that negotiation as difficult as possible. So who could be the next superstar at Real Madrid? If they sell Cristiano Ronaldo, they're going to want to make a big splash and bring in another mega name, another mega icon. So who would that icon be? Want to get into that and so much more with Roger Gonzalez from CBS Sports when he joins us next here on QAM.
Plans always tackle the toughest issues.
I have been going through something recently, for any guys out there who have gone through this, I'd like some do-overs. Because I've done some things that I'm really not proud of since I've been back here. Mostly since 1980.
I feel like we're going to have a therapy session.
No. I'm done going
to therapists. Is this like a midlife crisis
no,
thing?
No. I'm done going to therapists. I've spent thousands of dollars on therapists.
The Joe Rose Show with Zach Krantz. Download the podcast on WQAM.com and listen live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m.
on 560 WQAM.
Been another fun day of World Cup action with 2 quarterfinals down, 2 more to go tomorrow. France over Uruguay today, 2-0. Belgium over Brazil, 2-1. We go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved 2 blocks south of their old location. Get there now. Roger Gonzalez, soccer writer from CBS Sports, joins us. Roger, how you doing tonight, man?
Doing great, man. Thanks.
Well, of course, it's my pleasure. And Belgium today, I thought, played very well, as the result would indicate. I also thought Brazil choked on a handful of great scoring opportunities. And, of course, Courtois, the Belgian keeper, made an unbelievable save late in that match. Did the result surprise you this afternoon? And how did you feel about the way that game transpired?
Yeah, I'm certainly surprised that Belgium won. I think it was kind of a similar thing that we've seen with Brazil. And we've talked about this where, you know, in these games, they had 3 straight 2-0 wins. They were playing well defensively and were creating a lot of chances and maybe just not finishing at the rate we thought they would. So they go into this Belgium game. Obviously, an unfortunate own goal by Fernandinho, though Kompany did well on it. And then to go up 2-0, I mean, it's a team that obviously couldn't afford to waste any chances. And so 26 shots, they had 9 on target. The opportunities were there to tie this game, to win this match. And just, you know, when it mattered most, they couldn't finish. And, you know, Courtois, like you said, was huge, and Belgium deserved to move on.
So, okay, with the way things stand now, of course, we have 2 more quarterfinals tomorrow, so there are 6 teams left. France and Belgium advancing today. Tomorrow you have Croatia versus Russia, and I'm giving up trying to pick Russia games. I thought for sure Spain would knock them off, and somehow that team in their home country keeps surviving. But Croatia, Russia tomorrow, Sweden and England tomorrow. You know, now that Brazil is out, who I know was a popular pick to win the cup for a lot of people out there, with the 6 teams remaining, Roger, who do you like the rest of the way?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I think kind of by default, I would say France, just because of the players that they have. And, you know, they were able to play really well against a team that I thought had a chance to to go even further, maybe to the final in Uruguay. So I think they're full of confidence and looking sharper as the tournament goes on, more so than in the group stage. But I also think, you know, with Belgium and how they started, they're going to have a chance as well. And, you know, I think it's likely on that other side we see England get to the final. But if not, we're going to have really a, I mean, even England would be a shocking finalist when you think of, you know, entering this tournament. So we're up, you know, we're in for a big surprise when it comes to the final. And, you know, I'm thinking maybe we see, you know, France, England or something like that, which would be pretty huge.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, earlier this week when England knocked off Colombia, it was interesting because they won in, like, the least English way possible by winning a penalty kick shootout, which they hadn't done in, like, 22 years, I think. So this may be a team of destiny now, Roger.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, everything's kind of coming into place at the right time with, you know, getting that monkey off their back and penalty kicks. And, you know, it was kind of like Belgium entering this match where I said, you know, oh, sure, they played pretty well. They really haven't played anybody. Let's see how they do. So, you know, they beat a Colombia team that obviously isn't as strong without James Rodriguez. They weren't really tested, you know, in the group stage, having not, you know, playing a backup Belgian team really in that third game. So I'm curious to see how they do, if they can get by Sweden and get a real big test. No disrespect to Sweden, but we know, obviously, in attack, the talent isn't quite there as it is with a lot of the teams on the other side of the bracket. So, you know, I'm still waiting to see a performance from England that really convinces me, but, you know, they're young, they're ambitious, and they have a chance. And, you know, I think if you're an English fan, that's a reason to be really excited.
Yeah, it's something I'm curious to get your opinion on. We're joined by Roger Gonzalez, soccer writer from CBS Sports. I don't think any other player to this point in the Cup has been tweeted about more, turned into memes as much as Neymar has. And it's become a lot of fun watching Neymar play, and he does get fouled a ton. I get that. But every time the guy gets touched, you know, he does that stereotypical soccer thing where he sells it, trying to win an Academy Award in addition to winning a call. Is that a bad look for the game, or is Neymar actually kind of doing something smart there because he gets fouled so much that, you know, maybe he's thinking, if I really sell it every time, I'm hoping to get more calls out of this?
Yes, yeah, it's complicated. I think the way he acts sometimes, I think it certainly hurts his image, and it becomes annoying for fans and for other players. You know, there's situations where if you receive, you know, strong enough contact, and you're on the way down, and you feel like you have a better chance of selling it than you know, going forward with the ball, then, you know, sure, that's part of the game. It's been part of the game for a while, but this kind of exaggeration, and even the dive in the box that he had today when Fellaini went to challenge him, and there was no contact there at all, and he just dove. And for me, every time when they're clear like that, those should be yellow cards. I think we would, you know, end up seeing that cleaned up a bit more. You know, we've seen that given as a yellow in the past, and I think we need to go back to doing that consistently. That might be the only way to kind of, you know, clean it up. But it certainly hurts his image, and, you know, it's annoying for all the spectators to see that.
Yeah, another thing I'm curious as to your take on, you know, the European League that I watch the most is Italian Serie A. So I got kind of a season-long preview of VAR, the video assistant review, which has been used in this World Cup. And I know that, you know, a lot of, like, traditionalist Premier League fans just despise even the idea of the video replay. But do you think it's been effective? How do you think it's been carried out in this Cup?
Yeah, I think it's been effective. I mean, we've seen, you know, statistics come through of you know, the accuracy of calls, and I think, overall, like, the intention's good to not, you know, have as much human in error, but there are people that, you know, think that the human error is part of the game, part of any game that's officiated. And, you know, I go back to that Lampard no goal against Germany some World Cups ago when it clearly crossed the line and then didn't get the call. And so I think when it comes to, you know, I'm more of a fan of the goal line technology stuff and confirming those as goals with the penalty kicks. Like today, when Gabriel Jesus was taken down in the box by Company at the near post, everyone, a lot of people I saw online were convinced that it would be overturned when they reviewed it. I didn't think it was a penalty, but a lot of people seemed to. And so, you know, I think there's always going to be the debate as to whether it was the right call or not. My concern with VAR was if it was taking away too much time. And, you know, I think it's been pretty efficient, pretty interesting to see. But, you know, I think it's going to take some time to get used to.
Yeah, I think about, like, some of the great individual performers who are left in this Cup. Like, I really like Hazard in Belgium. Modric in Croatia is an awesome player. You know, some great strikers, some great players like Harry Kane on England. But I try not to be too much of a prisoner of the moment, Roger. But I think that the rest of the way here could end up being really the breakout for Kylian Mbappe. Do you think he might be the best player left in this World Cup?
I don't know if he's I think maybe the best young player left. But I certainly think we'll see guys make potentially more of an impact. I mean, like, you know, De Bruyne was obviously really good for Belgium today. Hazard was driving Fernandinho and others crazy with his speed. And so I think, you know, we talk about, you know, the best player of the tournament and who's going to win that award. And, you know, I think that's something that still is far from being decided. So I think, you know, Mbappe's up there. Obviously, he's been very efficient, didn't do a whole lot against Uruguay, which is obviously a tough team to play against. But, you know, Harry Kane has a chance as well to finish as top player. And some of the Belgian guys. And so, yeah, it's still open. I think Mbappe, you know, for a lot of average soccer fans, they don't know much about him. You know, you and me and other people who follow the game closely, obviously we've known about him now for over a year with what he did at Monaco for a couple seasons now. So I think he's got the potential to carry this team and make some big moments, you know, in the final games if he can get them to the final. But I think there are other players that maybe are more seasoned that I expect more of an impact from in these final games.
Now, I wanted to get into a transfer window question here surrounding the guy who I consider to be the biggest icon in the sport right now. A lot of smoke, maybe some fire with Cristiano Ronaldo being sold by Real Madrid to Juventus, which is the club that I hate more than any club God ever made. So this would not be very nice for me as an Inter fan. But what's the latest on Ronaldo to Juventus? Do you think they might even be announcing this by the weekend?
Yeah, it's really weird. I mean, we see this kind of every summer with Ronaldo, whether it's linked to PSG or wherever. And it's kind of, you know, it's always one of those things where I'm always like, oh, okay, here we go again. They'll be back at Real Madrid. But this time it feels different. It feels very strange. You know, you see these reports in Spain saying that the move is going to be announced soon. You've got, you know, I think it was an ex-director of Juventus who was talking about the move and saying how it's progressing. So it's one of the things where, for me, I mean, I'm always hesitant to believe a lot of the stuff that could be published in the kind of European sports media. We see a lot of, you know, speculation, a lot of rumors. One place reports this and another place goes with it as if it's 100% accurate, so it's complicated. It certainly feels like he'll be leaving, which would be really weird, especially at the price tag of, you know, 100 million euros.
It's
more than Real Madrid paid for him when they got him from Man United. And, you know, being 33 years old, he certainly has, I think, three or four really great seasons left in him, simply because of how fit he is and how driven he is more than any other player in the world. So it would be quite the purchase for Juventus, and I think it would certainly change the landscape of the Champions League quite a bit. And I'm not going to believe it until it happens, but
right,
it feels like it's heading that way.
And I also think about like what a potential domino could be if this sale does go through. You know, Real Madrid, they get $100 million in their pocket, plus they get Ronaldo's high wages off the books. And we all know Real Madrid is going to want to make a big splash in the transfer window. They sell Ronaldo. They need to bring in the next great player to replace him. So who do you think that they would give a long look at? Could it be Neymar and Mbappe from PSG, who I imagine would try to make that negotiation very difficult, not to do Real Madrid any favors? Who do you think might be the next in if Ronaldo is out from Real Madrid?
Yeah, I think those are certainly two players that would make sense because of their profiles. And we've seen, obviously, both of them being linked to Real Madrid. It's interesting because you think also maybe if they sell Bale as well, the extra money that they would have on top of everything to make a move there. And outside of, you know, with Neymar and Mbappe, it's hard to think of, you know, maybe who could come in and make that type of impact. There's no one like Ronaldo. It would certainly have to be someone who on the wing can contribute and kind of move inside. You know, we've seen them linked with Hazard as well, and obviously Chelsea not being in the Champions League. And so anything could happen there. But, I'd be curious to see who they would go for because, you know, they always try to make those splash signings, especially in attack. And, you know, it would be hard to find someone to replace Ronaldo, but I'm sure they would get somebody who's super expensive and super talented.
And in your opinion, if Ronaldo ends up on Juventus, as we're talking to Roger Gonzalez from CBS Sports, Is that a good thing for Serie A as a whole, or is it just good for Juventus? Because obviously that team has won 7 straight domestic titles in Italy, and so a lot of people kind of point at Serie A and say, well, it's just a one-team league because that's been the way it's gone for the last 7 years. So if they bring in Ronaldo, is that good for the entire league because it brings more eyes, or is it only good for Juventus and the rich get richer?
I think it'd be, you know, good exposure for the league, certainly, but obviously it helps Juventus and doesn't do much for the other teams. Just makes it even more challenging for teams like Inter and Napoli to contend and get in that fight and stick it out to the end for potentially winning the league. So, yeah, I think for Juventus, it would be quite the bit of business. You know, we're used to kind of them just selling their top players
right.
for lots of money. And after paying so much for Higuain and then having, you know, potentially Ronaldo, it would certainly be something we haven't seen from Juventus in quite a while, and would certainly make more of an impact, I think, on the European stage and specifically in Serie A.
At this moment, and keeping in mind that he is 3 years older than Messi, if you just had to take one of these players to build a team around today, do you take Ronaldo or Messi?
I've always been, thinking that, you know, the best player that I've been fortunate enough to see them both play in person in important matches, Messi in World Cup qualifying, Ronaldo in the Champions League final. And for me, it's always been, you know, Messi up here above. And, you know, certainly over the last year, Ronaldo has been more effective. He's been in unbelievable form. Just for me, though, I think the things that Messi can do for a team, for me, they're more than what Ronaldo can do. I've always felt Messi is the better player, and nothing's really going to change my mind about that. But I think overall, you know, we're lucky to be able to see both of them play because their talents, like, really we've never seen. They're very unique, and certainly they're both going to go down as some of the best to ever play.
Love it. You want to follow this man on Twitter at @RGonzalezCBS. Check out his work at CBSSports.com. Roger Gonzalez, I can't thank you enough, man, and we'll probably talk to you again at some point here before the Cup is over, but enjoy the rest of this World Cup.
Sounds good, man. Thanks. You too.
Yeah, good stuff there from Roger, man. I like taking a deep dive in some transfer window stuff. And I don't go out of my way to do that because I know that European transfer window talk is probably not everybody's cup of tea. But I think when it involves Cristiano Ronaldo, that's a big deal, right? That's it. Because you walk outside in South Florida, how many CR7 Real Madrid jerseys do you see? Manny Chang's got like 3 of them. But you walk outside, you see Cristiano Ronaldo Real Madrid jerseys. Maybe like even some old school Ronaldo Manchester United jerseys. The guy has a lot of fans, regardless of what team he plays for, right? It's a little bit like LeBron James. You'll see people wearing LeBron jerseys, whether it be Lakers, Heat, Cavaliers jerseys, right? Like he comes with a following. So, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo, if he ends up on Juventus, that's a big deal for soccer fans, right, Manny?
And you said it, Alex. He has a following.
Yeah.
And if he goes to Juventus, I might have to get a jersey.
No! No! No, if I see you wearing the Bianconeri next season, I'm throwing you off a building. Oh, my God. I can't even deal with that. Okay. I've already got one. And like, obviously, our buddy Miguel Manella is not, like, as close of a personal friend. Like, I've barely even seen the guy in years since he would work here. But I consider him a friend. He's a Juventus fan. I can't have more than one Juventus fan.
I'm a Ronaldo fan, not a Juventus fan. You know what, Alex? Just for you, I won't.
There. All right, there we go. We settled that. Oh, my God. Nobody wants to play with LeBron James. We'll talk about that and more next year on QAM. You know, rehabbing with his doctor in New York and then hiding from Spurs officials when they came to talk to him. Wow, Manny Chang just called him a bitch. Wow. I just think he's strange. Like, I think Kawhi Leonard is a weird individual. Have you ever heard Kawhi Leonard speak? Because I don't think I ever have.
No, he's very noble. He keeps to himself. But, man, Alex, after a while, dude, you ain't no superstar. You're a great player, you know? But come on, dude, knock out of it.
Well, he definitely doesn't have the superstar personality, which is why, like, all things considered, it sounds like he fits better with the San Antonio Spurs. But he doesn't like Greg Popovich. He wants out of there. But Kawhi Leonard, like, he has that small market type of personality, right? Where you could see Kawhi Leonard is probably better suited for San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Minneapolis, Milwaukee, Utah. He's better suited for that type of market than he is for Los Angeles, Boston, New York, Miami, Philadelphia. Although Philadelphia is strange because it is technically a big market, but it is more of like a blue collar type of town. Like it doesn't have that same sort of like Hollywood bright lights type of reputation like New York and Los Angeles and Chicago or even Miami have. But Kawhi Leonard seems to be more of a small market type of personality than a Hollywood type of guy. And I guess, you know, the Clippers, even though they're in Hollywood, they're less Hollywood than the Lakers are. But yeah, he doesn't want to be second fiddle to LeBron James, right? Like normally I would find a revelation like that to be very surprising. But after already having heard about Paul George passing on LeBron to re-up with Oklahoma City, despite the fact that Paul George grew up rooting for the Lakers in Palmdale, California, nearby Los Angeles, still a chance to play for his boyhood favorite team. Yeah, I'll pass on the whole LeBron thing. I'm happy in OKC, right? And now Kawhi Leonard apparently doesn't want to play with that guy. And how about this? Kyrie Irving never wanted to play with LeBron. Irving reportedly believed he could win championships in Cleveland without LeBron James. The nugget comes from a roundtable discussion between three Cavaliers writers, Jason Lloyd of The Athletic, ESPN's Dave McMenamin, and Joe Varden of Cleveland.com. This story, by the way, is from NBCSports.com. Lloyd said this, "It has been made clear to me by multiple people, Kyrie Irving never wanted LeBron to come back to Cleveland in the first place. He didn't think it was necessary. LeBron said something to Kyrie on the court following a game when he was with Miami, something to the effect of, keep going, keep doing what you're doing. You never know. I could be back here one day." So LeBron tipped off Kyrie. LeBron was in a Heat uniform, which is a Heat fan. I think this is just a look behind the curtain at how collusion is very real in the NBA and how LeBron James making up his mind to go somewhere else months or years before he actually does it is a very real thing with that guy. So he says to Kyrie, whispers in his ear, the way that LeBron does. LeBron was whispering in Lonzo Ball's ear last season, probably telling him, Lonzo, you better tell your dad to shut up because I'm coming, right? LeBron used to whisper in Dwayne Wade's ear. Now LeBron is whispering, or it was back in the day, whispering to Kyrie, keep going, keep doing what you're doing. You never know. I could be back here one day. And Kyrie basically said, what's he talking about? We don't need him. McMenamin said this, Kyrie and his camp considered asking for a trade after the championship. They decided to keep it in-house and not go forward with it, but it was something they discussed. That there was some friction between Irving and James. It's no surprise, but it's downright shocking to consider that Irving believed he had the opportunity to compete for championships without the more accomplished hometown hero. The Cavs won 24 and 33 games during Kyrie's first 2 years, which were without LeBron. They looked lost. The supporting cast included Spencer Hawes, Dion Waiters, our guy, our savior, and Jarrett Jack. There's believing in your own abilities, and then there's thinking one of the two best basketball players in history won't help in the goal of winning games. It's tough to believe Irving could actually believe this, so perhaps his true desire was to remain the alpha. That's got to be it right there. That's got to be it right there. There's no chance in hell that Kyrie Irving really thought, yeah, we don't need LeBron James in Cleveland to win championships. I can do this on my own. I don't think that was the issue. I think the issue here was Kyrie Irving said, I want to be the man. I want to be the center of attention. I want to be the centerpiece on a championship team. I don't want LeBron to come in here and then it's the LeBron show co-starring Kyrie Irving. I want to be the headlining guy. And, you know, he's going to achieve that in Boston, right? He is the center of that very talented team, the centerpiece of that, the leading scorer of that team. He could never be that in Cleveland. He could never be that with LeBron James. Now, you can call Kyrie a little bit delusional, a bit of a troll. You know, he's been pounding his chest about this flat earth stuff for the last year, which I honestly don't think he really believes it. I just think he likes the attention he gets from it. But another case in point, Kyrie Irving likes being the center of attention. But, you know, going back to Paul George and his decision to remain in Oklahoma City after that year-long audition. And it was an audition for OKC, not for him. Like, because he was thinking before that trade, right? OKC went all in for Paul George, knowing this guy wants to be in LA. Grew up cheering for the Lakers, Palmdale, California. That's his dream. He made it clear, when I'm a free agent, I'm going to Los Angeles. And yet Oklahoma City said, you know what? We're going to gamble on this guy for a year, thinking we can convince him OKC is the place to be. And it worked. It worked. Shouldn't that make you feel a little bit more optimistic that if you can work together a deal for Kawhi Leonard, right, whether he wants to play with the Clippers or the Lakers, he wants to go to Los Angeles as a free agent next year, if you can get Kawhi here on a one-year, what might be a one-year rental, but knowing that Miami's an attractive market, the Miami Heat offer a stable, attractive organization, right? And wouldn't he like playing for Spo? Wouldn't he like playing under Pat Riley? You'd like to think that and hope that. And Miami's not such a bad place to be. In fact, he was at Chipotle in Aventura a few weeks ago. So Kawhi already knows that Miami's not a bad place to be. Wouldn't you like your chances there in a year-long audition to convince Kawhi Leonard? I know we gave up a lot for you because they'd probably have to give up Winslow, who I'm okay parting with, Richardson, that'd be tough, and Bam Adebayo, that'd be tough. But to me, I think that you look at this roster, you're not competing for championships with any of these guys. Not Richardson, not Winslow, not Justice. Isn't it worth taking that gamble? Isn't it worth rolling the dice and saying, you know what? We can get a great two-way player who theoretically can be a part of the nucleus of a championship-winning team, right? Kawhi's not going to win championships here by himself. But if that becomes the first building block towards Riley's massive rebuild project, Kawhi Leonard, who, by the way, is only 26 years old, right? Feels like he's been around forever, but he's only 26 years old. If you can even take that gamble of giving away bright young players who are probably never going to be part of a championship nucleus for a guy who might be, if you can only convince him to sign long-term in the summer of 2019, I think it's worth rolling the dice on that. And, you know, I didn't feel that way a couple of weeks ago. I've had a change of heart on this one, and Paul George has been part of that. Seeing Paul George being wowed by the Oklahoma City franchise to re-sign their long-term makes me think the Heat have a shot over a season to convince Kawhi Leonard this is a good place to be.
May I ask you a Paul George question, Elbow?
Sure.
You think Paul George is scared of being the spotlight?
No, if anything, I don't think he wants to be such a footnote behind LeBron James, right? And obviously, Russell Westbrook...
Well, he's being a footnote behind Russell Westbrook.
But that's different. Like Russell Westbrook does not command the same sort of headlines that LeBron James does, right? Like Westbrook, a very colorful, theatric type of player. But I think it's a little bit different being the LeBron sidekick versus being the Westbrook sidekick or the Westbrook co-star. I think that's a little bit different. I mean, it sounds to me like Paul George, you know, not only does he like it in Oklahoma City, which did surprise me, but I don't think he wanted to be the footnote to LeBron James.
It just feels like he didn't want to become that type of guy, maybe in a big market. You know, yes, I get it. He was with the Pacers. They had great runs against the Heat, but they never won. So then now, you know, he goes to Oklahoma, doesn't even get out of the first round against the Utah Jazz out of all teams.
Yeah.
And then has a chance to go to the Lakers with LeBron and decides to stay in OKC. It just seems like a guy that doesn't want to be under that type of pressure.
Well maybe, and to your point, maybe going home is a lot of pressure, right? Like going back to Southern California. Maybe he decided, you know what, despite the fact.
But if you think you're great, why not, though? That's what I'm saying.
I don't know, man. Like maybe he thought, you know what, even though I had Lakers posters above my bed growing up, I idolized Kobe Bryant. Maybe going back home to play under that kind of pressure is not the thing I want in my life. Texter writes in, Kyrie believes the earth is flat. I can believe he thought he could win a championship by himself. Yeah, I can see. I still don't believe he thinks the earth is flat, but I don't know, man. I think you know, if we're going to be launching private spacecraft up there, I say you launch Kyrie up there just to have him get a look at the globe. Kawhi Leonard is a great player, but I can't see how his value isn't greatly diminished by him literally quitting on his team. What does that say about the player and the man? San Antonio is the only organization with the reputation of the Heat. That is a tough one for me, right? That is a really tough one for me. You know, regardless of what you think about Kyrie and the team doctors and the whole Greg Popovich feud, to hear that Kawhi and the Greg Popovich feud and the team doctors, to hear about Kawhi potentially threatening to sit out and not play if the Spurs don't trade him, that's a little bit alarming, right? Like, to, because you always want to think if you're investing heavily in a player, you're investing heavily in a guy who's going to buy into the culture, into Heat culture, and is going to look out for his teammates. And, you know, somebody who is potentially willing to sit out an entire season just to try and force a trade from the team he's currently on, that has to that has to raise your alert, right? That has to make you concerned. And that's something, if I'm Pat Riley, I'm doing a lot of research, right? I'm pumping my connections for information. Anybody that I know from San Antonio, anybody that I know on the Spurs staff who knows Kawhi Leonard personally and can give me a rundown of what kind of a man is he? Forget the basketball stuff. You think he's a good teammate? Is it just so toxic with San Antonio that maybe he'll look for a fresh start and be a team guy somewhere else? Or is he going to be a problem, whatever locker room he's in? And I'm sure that potentially sitting down with the player and chatting with him is going to be big for that as well. This is something we can get into with Tom DeAngelo from the Palm Beach Post when he joins us next. Also, Carmelo Anthony, is there real interest on the Miami Heat side to bring a second banana boat guy to the Heat? You could have D-Wade and Carmelo. You've got half the banana boat. All you need is LeBron, who's not coming back here, and Chris Paul, who's not coming back here. You've got a whole banana boat full. You'll have half of that boat if Carmelo comes here. Tom DeAngelo from the Palm Beach Post will break it down next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.